We're on Daf Chesamid Aleph, five lines down from the top of the two dots. Amar Abaye. Now, just by way of introduction, and there'll be many introductions, this sugya has to go slowly. This is not what you call a Daf Yomi sugya, but we'll try to do the best we can. We're talking about a very large vessel, a Kli Gadol, and he's throwing it from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. And the name of this kli in this particular context, it could be any kli, but it's called a kaveres, which is otherwise known as a beehive. And it's round in shape, and it's used by the bees that gather there, and they make dvash, they make their honey there. And it's made of reeds that are braided together, kunim kluim. And we'll see that as we go through the sugya, when we get to Rava, now we're working on Abaye, some of those reeds actually rise up above the kaveres. They stretch out higher. Now, just to read Abaye first, and then, as we say, to give more of an introduction to some of the principles that Abaye is working with. Zara kaveres. He throws this gigantic vessel, which is called a kaveres, Mirshus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. So he's going to be chayev now for Hotzah, if he's chayev, and it all depends upon the dimensions, the size of this kli called a kaveres. Gavoa Asara, if it's 10 tefachim high, which is the shear of Rishus HaYochid. So we're looking at this kli and we're trying to figure out what its status is. Is it just a kli or maybe it's a rishus? It's a, so to speak, a flying rishus. It's a rishus li'atzma. So it's now got the height of a rishus li'atzma, but it doesn't have the width. Now, the width of rishus hayochid, the minimum width, is 4 tefachim. Now, we have to make a little switch in our head over here between 6 and 4. When it says 6, it really means 4. I'll have to explain that as I go along. But Eina Rechava Shisha, which means it's less than a width of 4. And this is based on a sugya in Erevin. But the point is, just to get the conceptual principle, if it's less than 4 tvachim, because the Rochav of this round kaveres is less than 4 tefachim, then it's not a rishus b'fnei atzma. It's a chefa, it's a kli, it's not a rishus. So the main distinction here, according to Abaye, is between a kli and a rishus. You're chayav for throwing a kli from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, but not for throwing a rishus from one rishus to the other. Throwing a rishus is not, does not constitute a meleches hotzah. And that's going to be derived, as we'll speak about it, from the Mishkan. Because all the meleches of Shabbos are derived from meleches ha-Mishkan. So in this case, since it doesn't have the rochav shisha, which means it doesn't have the width of 4 tefachim, and we'll see why shisha equals 4, is chayav. He is not throwing a rishus, he's throwing a kli. And if you throw a kli from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, you're chayev. However, Rechava Shisha, if the width of this kli is 6 tefachim, which means 4 tefachim, and we'll see how we get to that in a minute as we convert a circle into a square, is potter. Why? Because once it's wide enough to have the 4 tefachim width, and it's tall by 10 tefachim, then it becomes a Rishus HaYochid. It's a Rishus HaYochid. And now it's a movable Rishus HaYochid. And he throws it from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. He's potter. Why? Because he's throwing a Rishus Bifnei Atzma, Rishus HaYochid. It has the midos of Rishus HaYochid. It's no longer a kli, it's no longer a chefetz, it's a rishus. And there's no chiyuv for throwing a rishus. There's a chiyuv for throwing chafotzim or kelim, but not for throwing a rishus. Now, even though the shear of the of the Orach and Rochav Rishus HaYochid is only Arbal Arba, right? So we're talking about, let's say, if you had a square, so you would have, you know, one line 4 and the other line 4 in a perfect square. So the line, let's say, vertical line would be 4 Tfachim, and then the line going horizontally from east to west is 4 Tfachim, that's 4 by 4. But here, we're talking not about a square, but we're talking about a round object. That's what the kaveres looks like. It's a round object. Now, in order to get 4 tfachim square in a round object, you would need shisha tfachim. And again, we're going to see that the number 6 here is a little bit rounded out, and why it's rounded out and so forth, but it's approximately 6 tfachim. Now, this round object can only be considered a shisei yochid if you can square off inside this circle an area that would be 4 tfachim square, 4 tfachim on 4 tfachim. And in order to get a 4 tfachim square out of a circle, you need that the diameter of the circle be 6 tfachim. So you need an eagle that has the width of 6 tfachim in order to get a ribu. If you'd cut off, so imagine a circle and then you cut off inside the circle, you mark off a square. So in order to get that square with 4 tfachim on 4 tfachim, you would need the circle itself to be shisha tfachim. So according to Abaye, therefore, if the width of the circle is 6 tfachim or more, then you've already got a square that could be squared out inside this circle with 4 by 4 tfachim. Hence, you have the diameters, you have the proportions, the area of a rishus hayochid. Again, keep in mind we have a gova of asar tfachim. You are throwing now a rishus, not a chefetz. Now, let's go back to the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, we had a case of the weavers, which are called the Tofrei HaYirios. They were in charge of weaving the curtains in the Mishkan. And we're learning from the building of the Mishkan, the 39 Malachas. So the Tofrei HaYirios, they would use what's called Machtehem. Their utensils were called machat, or in plural machtehem, and they would pass it on from one to the other in the machna levia. Now we have to understand that the machna levia is a rishus harabim, and if you take a look at Rashi Divra Maskel Rechava, you will see that Rashi says that when the Tofrei HaYirios would pass on, or sometimes they would even throw their machtim one to the other. So you have Reuven throwing his machat to Shimon, and that's all in the machna levia, which is a rishus harabim. Says Rashi, "Aval achlol zarku rishuyos." They threw kelim, but not rishuyos. Now the Ran embellishes this a little bit further, and he says that there's a difference between Zarak es hakaveres b'komasa bein zarkosa derech rechava. So you can throw this kaveres while it's in a standing position, or you can have it in a more horizontal position, which is derech rechava, known in its width, and it matters not. No matter how you're throwing this kaveres in any way the kaveres' shape is directed, you know, in any direction, whether it's up and down, whether it's to the right, to the left, we never found in the Mishkan anything that was thrown, and we're emphasizing here Zrika, that was Roy Leos Rishus Bifnei Atzma, that was in this context, a Rishus HaYochid unto itself. Now the truth is that we don't find Zrika of a Rishus in the Mishkan, because again they were throwing their machteim, which are small vessels, they're not large enough to have the dimensions of Rishus Hayoch. They didn't throw Rishus. That's as far as Zrika is concerned. However, as far as Hotsas Rishuyos is concerned, we actually do find in the Mishkan that they took something which was Rishus Hayoch itself, and they brought it from one part of Rishus HaRabim to another part of Rishus HaRabim. And that's the case of the Aron and the case of the Mizbechos. So these were very large utensils, like the Aron that housed the Luchos HaBris and the Mizbeach itself. These were very large utensils, and they were movable, and they had the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. But the fact that in Zrika, we don't find a Zrika in the Mishkan of Rishuyos, because again, they were Zorik Machteim in the Machtel Leviyo, that is enough to establish that there's no Chiv Zrika on Shabbos for being Zorik a Rishus. And in the note here, there's a quote from the Cheshek Shlomo, and others agree with him, that Masha Matzinu Shayu Motzim Ha'aron Va'Mizbechos Hukak Behotza V'lo B'Zrika. So there's no Zrika of Rishus. Ach Ein LaHakshus, you might ask, that Abai's Loshen is Hazorei Kaveres, meaning from Rishus Yahu L'Rishus HaRabim, it seems that he's talking about Zorek Rishus, meaning he took a Rishus, which is a Kaveres, if it has those dimensions that we mentioned, Mirshus HaYochid, Lirshus HaRabim. And the case of Zrikas Machtin in the Mishkan was really Havaras Dalad Amis Bishus HaRabim, right? Both Tofrei Rios, who called Reuven and Shimon, were sitting in the Machtel Levi and Rishus HaRabim. So we're talking about Dalad Amis Bishus HaRabim. But what the Gemara has in mind here is that he says, Lilmod Chiyuv Al Kol Mine Zrika. In other words, our category is Zrika itself. And we're not going to distinguish between Zrika Mershus Lushus or Zrika within the Rishus HaRabim Dalet Amis. All of them are, shall I say, interconnected, and if we don't find Zrikas Dalet Amos of a Rishus, we only find it of Machteihem, of the Machat, so that's Dalet Amos in Avara, then we don't derive any other form of Zorek, namely Mirshus Lishus, in a case where he throws an entire Rishus. So again, I'm not sure what the answer to the Tosfos Yeshayahu's question that we mentioned earlier about the fact that we do find in the Mishkan that they were Motzi Rishuyos in the case of the Aron and the Mizbechos. That I can't tell you. But what I could tell you that as far as Zrika is concerned, we don't find in the Mishkan Zrikas Rishuyos. And again, even if we don't find Zrikas Rishuyos in the case of Mavir, then, ipso facto, there's no Zrikas Rishuyos in Hotzah Mirshus Lishus as well, because Mavir Dalet Amos and Rishus Lishus are just two different forms of Melech HaZorek. Now, let's mention the question here, the Tosar Rosh. Rashi writes that we derive all the Melechos from the Mishkan, but that's not really this exactly precise, because the Gemara in Perek HaZorek and on Daf Tzadi Vom Beis, Lamaskana tells us that Zrikas Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim is Haloch L'Moshe Misinai. We don't derive it from Mishkan, for whatever reason the Gemara analyzes there. But perhaps we could say the following, that what the Gemara's Maskana is over there is not that the entity of Zorek Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim is derived from Haloch L'Moshe Misinai. There definitely is Melech HaZrika amongst the Tofrei HaYerios, but we don't know exactly what was the distance between one Tofer and the other Tofer. So how how much of a distance were these needles flying in the air? Was it Dalet Amos or not? For that we need Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. But the fundamental Malach of Zrika is derived actually from the Mishkan. We wouldn't know exactly what the shear of Zrika is, and for that we need Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. In any event, the Gemara knew that in the Mishkan there was no such thing as Zrikas Rishuyos. And hence, we derive the conclusion that if he throws a Rishus, he's not going to be Chayev. Now, what makes this Kaveris a Rishus? That's what Abai is working on. And he's saying that it would become a Rishus Bifnei Atzmut, a Patim for Zrika, if it had the Govas Sara and the Rochav, in this case Shisha, because it's a circle, in order to guarantee and assure us that we have a square of Dalet al Dalet, meaning Dalet Tfachim al Dalet Tfachim. Now, there are Rishonim, Tosus and the Ritva, that seem to assume that there's another reason, another factor that plays here as to why Zorik Rishus is Potter, and leave out Mishkan. The Kaveris itself, once it becomes Rishus HaYochid, then when it lands as a Rishus HaYochid. Now it's true that he picked it up in Rishus HaYochid, he threw it into Rishus HaRabim, but when it lands, it becomes Rishus HaYochid. This is a case, therefore, of Zorek Rishus HaYochid, Lirishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, and that you're part of four. Again, we haven't gotten to exactly these didim of Zorik Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim. We've spoken about, for example, taking something from one Rishus HaRabim through a Makom Ptur to another Rishus HaRabim, like in the case of Satya, if you remember. But Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, we haven't covered yet. I mean, there is such a thing as Moshit, but as far as Zrika is concerned, we don't have Zrika from Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim. So now, when he throws the Kaveres and it lands as a Rishus HaYochid itself, then basically it went from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, and therefore you're Potter, even though it's Derech Rishus HaRabim. Now, let's say the Kaveres was less than 10 Tfachim, but it has the Rochav of Shisha Tfachim. So in that case, he would be Chayev. Why? Because since it doesn't have the Gov of Asar Tfachim, then it becomes a Chayfetz, it becomes a Kli. Now, the only point we want to make here, which is almost obvious, but we should emphasize, is that once it's got the width of Shisha Tfachim, then if it's not 10 Tfachim high, it's what we call a Karmelis. And a Karmelis, if you remember the Dalet Rishuyos, is one of the four Rishuyos. So why not suggest that even if it's less than Dalet Tfachim, if it has the Rochav of Shisha Tfachim, then by throwing it, you are throwing a Rishus. But the answer is that Karmelis is not a Rishus min HaTorah, only min Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were misaking Karmelis lahachmir, but not lahakil, not to say that the Chachom could be oker a chiv dorais of a chatos and say you're not chayiv chatos. That's not within the purview of the authority of the Chachom. So that even when you throw a Karmelis, since it's not a Rishus Bifnei Atzma on a Doraisa level, and it is therefore a clear Chayfetz Yachayev when it lands in the Rishus HaYochid, in this case in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, we said before that the circle, in order to have a square within it of four Tfachim, would have to be six Tfachim. Now, how do we arrive at this? This is a sugya in Masechta Erevin on Daf Nun Aleph. And that's called Kol Shiurei Shabbos Tzorch Hein V'Alachsonon. See, Alachsonon is the diameter. And you'll see if you draw an angled line, you know, and it through the circle, which is called an alaxon. So I'll read this to you in Lashon Kodesh. He says, "Ein amokum nechshav ka'aches mirshuyos Shabbos, elim kein hashir hanitzrach lo nimtzo bi'oso mokum biribua sheyesh bo kav alaxon mipino lepino. V'ein modedin es hashir ba'igul she'ein bo alaxon." So that means that we draw the diameter of the circle, and the diameter of the circle now has to form a connection between one corner of the square and the other corner, meaning, let's say, the northwestern corner, if you follow me, down to the southeastern corner. So from that's the alaxon, the diameter. And in order to set up a shear of Rishus HaYochid, you need the Arba Tfachim in the square that has this alaxon in it. Now, what would be the size of the alaxon, which is basically the size of the circle, the diameter of the circle, in order to etch out a square within the circle of Arba Tfachim al Arba Tfachim? Now, he says that makom shu agul verochav ha'igul, what's called the width of the circle, or the kota, which we call the diameter, is in order to get the arba tefachim. If it's only four tefachim a diameter, let's talk about that case. That's not a rishus hayochid, because it would be impossible to draw a square inside this circle that would be arba tefachim if the diameter of the circle is only four tefachim. Therefore, what would be the rochav, the diameter of the circle, would have to be equal to a diameter which would be a ribua of arba al arba. And only in that case would it be possible to set up a square that would have the dimensions of 4 by 4. So the kavalaxon of any ribua has to be larger than 4 by 4. And the kavalaxon of a ribua, meaning that diagonal line in the middle of a square, in order to have a ribua within it of 4 by 4, would be a relationship of ribua of shnei chomshin. So you'd have to add to the orech 2/5. And that's also sugi in Sukkah Daf Ches. Interesting. Here we're on Daf Ches in Shabbos. There it's Sukkah Daf Ches. So the ribua, that square that we're marking off inside the circle, and that square has to be 4 by 4. Its alaxon, its diameter going across from, as we said, northwest to southeast, would have to be 4 tefachim plus 8/5 of a tefach. 8/5 of a tefach. That's the ratio. And that basically gets you down to 5 3/5 of a tefach. So in order to get from this igul a square of 4 by 4, you would need a diameter going across of 5 3/5 of a tefach. So this kaveres that we're dealing with, which is round, could not be considered a shusay yochid unless the rochav, meaning the diameter, would be 5 3/5 tefachim. And only if it's that large, or that wide, if you will you be able to square off a square that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So the key number here is 5 3/5. And once again, once you have the 5 3/5, Abai points out that you now have a Rishus HaYochid, and Zorik Rishus is Potter, because Zorik is only Chayv when you throw a Chayfetz and not when you throw a Rishus. So this is more or less the introduction to the Sugya. Now we go on in the Sugya with Rava. Rava is going to point out that don't think that just because it is smaller than a Rishus HaYochid, therefore you're going to be Chayav. But Rav rather says the following: even if this kaveres is 10 tefachim high, afilu im eino rechav shisha, potter, even if the width is less than six tfachim, and it's not considered a shusayachid, nevertheless you're potter. And why you potter? My taima, he says, because e efshar lekrumis shalkana. Now the krumios means that, as we said before, the kaveris is made up of braided reeds, so to speak, and some of these reeds go up above the opening of the kaveris. Now, if the kaveris is 10 tfachim, then these pieces of reeds that extend above that are above the 10 tfachim. Now, when the kaveris lands in Rishus HaRabim, again, he picked it up in Rishus HaYochid, he's throwing it into Rishus HaRabim, then these ktsavos, these extra pieces of the reeds, which are an essential part of, they're one and the same with the kaveris itself. It's not something that you could just cut off. They're very much attached to the kaveris. They will land above Asar Tvachim, because the kaveris itself is Asar Tvachim, and now there are pieces going above Asar Tvachim, and therefore they are in a Mokum Ptur, because in a Rishus HaRabim above Asar Tvachim, that's called a Mokum Ptur. Now again, 99% of the kaveris has landed in Rishus HaRabim, meaning below the Asar Tvachim height level. But nevertheless, since part of this kaveris juts out into a Mokum Ptur, that's not going to be a hanocha to generate a chiyuv, because hanocha has to be the entire kli in Rishus HaRabim without any part of the kli landing in a Mokum Ptur. Now, Abaye would say that you're chayev in this case because the rochav is less than arbal arba, meaning it's less than shisha tfachim. And Abaye would say you're chayev here because since the gova, just one second, I'm sorry. Abaye would say you're chayev here because even though the gova is 10 tfachim, which is a Rishus HaYochid, but you don't have the just one second. According to Abaye, if you have the width of six tfach, which is the four tfach of the square, then you're potur. But if it's less than that, then you're chayef. Why? Because if it's less than shisha tvachim, you're throwing a kli rather than a rishus. But Rava says, wait a minute. Okay, I grant you that you're throwing a kli, but you're potter because the kli didn't land in Rishus HaRabim. Why didn't the kli land in Rishus HaRabim? Because the gova is asar tvachim, which means that the ktsavos, these krumios, or in Hebrew tzlos, are rising above 10 tvachim. So what does Abaye say about the fact that the krumios are rising above 10 tfachim? And Abaye holds that krumios enam chashuvos. They're really not considered part of the kaveris itself. They don't function in any... they don't add anything to the kaveris. He would agree that if you had a chayfetz that would land in Rishus HaRabim, a part of that chayfetz would be in a makom ptur, you would be potter. So you're not chayef otzar Shabbos unless the entire chayfetz lands in Rishus HaRabim. But in this case, the krumios, according to Abaye, are not considered an integral part of the kli. Now, as I indicated before, Abaye, when he speaks about a rochav of shisha tfachim, that's rounding it out. He really should have said five tfachim and three-fifths. Because once you have a diameter of 5 tefachim and 3/5 of a tefach, then you already have a square that would be arba tefachim and arba tefachim, and it's Rishus HaYochid. You don't need to get to 6 tefachim. All you need is 5 and 3/5. However, Abaye rounds it off in order to be machmir, to be what we call afrisho mi'isr Shabbos. and to tell him that even if the alakzon, even if the diameter is 5 3/5, you would be chayv min rabbanon, makas mardus, for throwing such a thing, although it is a rishus. And so Abaye is implying that if it's less than 6 tfachim, which means it would be 5 3/5 tfachim, you would be chayev as if you threw a kli. In truth, you're not chayev in such a case, but it would be asu mirabbanon. So by using this number of 6 tfachim, Abaye is just simply being machmer ki'ilu, scaring us to think that if it's less than 6 tfachim, then he's going to be chayev, he's going to be chayev doraisa. But the truth is that if it's 5 3/5, which is less than 6 tfachim, it's already Rishus HaYochid, and you're part of Midaraisa. So he's like telling you, Ki'ilu, you'd be chayev Midaraisa at this point of less than 6 tfachim, which would include 5 3/5, which he's not chayev doraisa, because that's already 4 by 4 tfachim, which means it's already Rishus Bifnei Atzma, but nevertheless, it is a violation of an Issa D'Rabbanon which would generate Makas Mardus, and therefore Abaye was Machbir by rounding it off. We have Rabbeinu Hananel here who says that Abaye is talking B'Dafka about 6 Tfachim, and that has to do with the fact that if he throws a Kaveres that has less than 6 Tfachim, then he'd be chayv achatos, and the reason for that is because the shir shisha tfachim is with the ovi defanos of the kaferes, which is the equivalent of 1/5 of a tefach on each side. So the shir of the halal between, you know, without the defanos is 5 3/5, but once you add the defanos, you get up to 6. Now the Gemara discusses the following question: what happens if you turn the kaferes upside down, kfa'a al piha? So the opening of the kaveres is now on the bottom, what we call pischa nota klapi mata, klapi akarka rishus arabim. And he throws it in that manner into the rishus arabim. So then we have an issue here of lovut, because at some point, as the kaveres is coming down, when it hits within 3 tvachim of the ground, it's considered munach al gabi karka, which would mean that part of the kaveres on top is already outside or above the 10 tvachim in a makom ptur. So we have to now subtract the 3 from the 10 in terms of the gova of this kaveres. And that's what it says here, shiva umashahu chayav, but shiva umechza potur. So let's start with the easy case, shiva umechza. You have 7 1/2 tfachim, which means the following. You have a gova of 7 1/2 tfachim. Now that means that as soon as this kaveres, which is upside down, dips below the 3 tfachim samach lekarka, so it's already resting partially. Well, let's put it this way: the within 3 tfachim of airspace above the karka, it's already considered resting on the karka. So at that moment, the top part of the kaveres is above asar tfachim, which is a makom ptur, and that's what he has here with that extra half a tefach. So he's got shiva umechza, because once the shiva hits 3 tfachim, it's lovud, it's considered as if it's on the karka, and then he has a half a tefach that's shooting out above this height, which means it's above 10 tfachim. But now we have to understand what he means by shiva umashahu, and why is this dafka if he turns the kaveres upside down. So the Gemara wants to tell us that even if the height of the kaveres is 7 tfachim umashahu, he's chayev. Now, how much more so if it's a lower gova, if it's a lesser gova? The chiddush here is that even when he's throwing a kaver safucha, which means that everything is going sort of up from the opening of the kaveres now, and the mechitzos are sort of tilted down towards the karka, and once the mechitzos now reach into less than three tefachim above the karka, it's considered like the mechitzos are what we call mishtalshlos ad karka rishus harabim. That's the din of lavud. It's as if the kaveres is already nach rishus harabim at that moment. And the chiddush here is that he's still going to be chayav for that, because the din of lavud is only b'merchak shlosha tefachim chaser mashahu. So at that moment, when the kaveres reaches below the three tefachim line, sofim chakarka, and we call that lavud, the kaveres is already completely in the asar tefachim lekarka rishus harabim, and therefore he'll be chayav. Now, lavud is aloch l'moshe mi-sinai. The Gemara in Sukkah derives it as aloch l'moshe mi-sinai, and the exact definition or the mechanics of lavud is that two things that are close to each other without a hefsek of avir more than three tefachim. If it's an avir less than three tefachim, it's considered machshivin kimuchubarim yachet. It's if that two objects are together. And that's in Masechta Sukkah, because that's going to be the issue of setting up schach in such a way that there are no openings in the schach. Now, when the Gemara says shivu mechza here, it's lav dafka shivu mechza. Even if the gova would be shiva tfachim and let's say shnei mashus, he'd be potter. Because even in that case, when the kaveres gets into the mashu less than three tfachim, somach lekarka, it's ready kimunach. And the ktzeya eli on the top part of the kaveres is above asar tfachim. So it's really seven tefachim plus two mashus, which the Gemara calls shevu mechza. And this whole din in the Gemara is true both according to Abaye and according to Rava. It has nothing to do with the machlokas between them, because even Abaye admits that the kaveres, which has the rochav of pochas mishisha or gova sara, in such cases we're not going to consider the krumios according to Abai, but he's moded that all the entire chafetz has to be nach in Rosh Saram. He just holds the krumios and not chashuvos, they're not considered part and parcel of the kaveres. Now, why does the Gemara mention this case only if he turns the kaveres upside down? If it was right side up, then l'chor the same logic should apply. If the gova of shiva tfachum mechza, he should be chayav. And what's the logic here? He says, this is based on Rashi, Dir Maskal Avol, Sheba Ofen Zeh, Af Kshemagia Kaveres Lepochos Mishlosh Shetfachim Sol Lekaka, Ein Donim Bazeh Din Lovu, Lach Shiva Kimanocha Bekarka, Vipnei Sheshulei HaKaveres, Mafsikin Bein HaMachitzos LaKarka. Velo Nemra, Halacha shel lavud b'shulayim ela b'mechitzos bilvad. I'll just review that last sentence, and then we'll come back to it in Mirtz Hashem, b'li neder. Shulei ha-kaveres mafsikim b'en ha-mechitzos l'karka. What's mafkia, the din of lavud, in the straight kaveres, that's not upside down, is that the shulei ha-kaveres become a hefsek between the mechitzos and the karka. Ravashi Omar, let's go on in the Gemara, Afilu shiva umechza chayav. Even if the kaveres is 7.5 tefachim height, you're still going to be chayav. And that means that we're not operating with the din of lavud. My time of why? Mechitzos hakaveres letochan asuyos. So the outer, shall we call it the walls, if you will, of the beehive, are created in order to function for the inside of the kli. That's called letochan asuyos, because he wants to put honey inside this kli, inside this honeycomb. But it's not for the purpose of of turning them upside down. Because once you turn them upside down, they're no longer functioning for the inside of the kli. And therefore, once you turn it upside down, there's no Torah's lavud. And if there's no Torah's lavud here, then the kaveris is not considered munach al gala oritz until it actually reaches the karka. And at that time, the entire kli is b'rishus harabim. So that's the chiddush of Rav Asi, that in this case, we're not going to apply the principle of lavud because it's hafuch. And if it's hafuch, then the mechitzos here are not functioning in the way that they normally would be, l'tochan asuyos, for the purpose of the dvash inside. Omar Ula, Amud Gavoa Tisha, if you have a pole that's in Rishus HaRabim and it has the height of Tisha Tfachim, and we said the Rishus HaRabim goes up till 10 Tfachim, but we have another condition in Rishus HaRabim that it has to be Noach Tashmishtei, that the area of Rishus HaRabim is comfortable for use. The Rabim Akatfin Olav, since people will use it to fix, you know, to balance something that's weight on their backs, like for example, they have to move it around a little bit, so they'll temporarily rest it on this pole so that they can then shift it on their backs. That's called tashmish of the area that's still within the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. The Zorak Hefetz Harba Amas Rishus HaRabim V'Nochal Gabov, if he throws something for Amas Rishus HaRabim or from Rishus HaYochid and it lands on the top of this Amud, then Chayev. It's as if he put it down on the Karak of Rishus HaRabim. And Ula explains why. My Taima, Ula says the following. This is the various nuances of the din of an Amud in Rishus HaRabim. Pachos Mishlosha Tfachim, if it's so low that it's 9 Tfachim, I'm sorry, it's within 3 Tfachim off the Karak, is then Midrash Darsei BeRabim, the Rabim will actually stomp on top of something as they walk, that's so low, and therefore it's part of Rishus HaRabim. It's almost considered like a loved halacha, that it's the ara, it's part of the karka. And therefore, even though he doesn't use such a low pole for kit lekatev, but nevertheless, it is part of the Rishus HaRabim. Now, from 3 Tfachim till 9 Tfachim, then you have no function whatsoever, meaning people don't stomp on it because it's too high, it's above 3 Tfachim off the ground. And people don't use it for Lekatev, in which case there's no use of the Rabim in terms of the pole that's between 3 Tfachim and 9 Tfachim. However, if it's 9 Tfachim, at that point, it's Rabim Mekatfim Olav, Vadai Mekatfim Olav, and it's not too low for Lekatev, and it's not too high for Lekatev. So it's not above 10 Tfachim, which would be, again, a Mokum Ptur. It's below 10 Tfachim, so it's part of the Rishus HaRabim, and it is Omed L'Tashmish HaRabim, because Rabim Mekatfim Olav. And it seems like Ula is talking only about 9 Tfachim, because that is exactly the shear, the amount, that it's not too high for Kituf, and it's not too low for Kituf, as Rashi points out, Dibur Maskel Tisha. So what would be if it was a little bit higher than Tisha Tfachim, even though it's not 10 Tfachim, let's say it was 9.5, it would not be part of Rishus HaRabim. That's what Rashi says over here. However, the Rosh says that anything between 9 and 10 Tfachim is Roy Lekituf, and therefore it's considered Tashmish HaRabim as a Dinner Rishus HaRabim. Now, Rashi points out, Dira Machskel Makatve, that this Omud is not Arbal Arba Tfachim, and yet it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim. So the Rashba asks, we had a Gemara back on Daf Dalid, that in order to be Chayev, you have to put it down on a Mokum that's Arba al Arba. And the Rashba answers that since it's derech hamakatfim lekatef olav, even if it doesn't have arba arba, then it's considered a makom chashiv. There's no separate gzeres hakosav of arba al arba for hanocha. If you could have a hanocha on something that is less than arba arba, and that would be the normal way, and for the purpose of kituf, that would be certainly fine, then you're chayev, even without arba al arba. No gzeres hakosav of arba al arba, no absolute requirement. And it's really similar to yodosh al odah, which is also less than arba al arba, and yet it's considered ka arba al arba, nesugya bakodaf hei. So again, everything depends upon dakum shel adam and how they use something, and it could be that you're chayev as a reshus, even though it's less than arba al arba. There is also a halacha here of achshave, that the rabbim are machshiv this makom as if it were arba al arba, because they are darkam lekate falav. And that reminds us of the Gemara in Erevin, which we haven't gotten to yet, but the famous Gemara of a person who throws an object into the mouth of an animal that he's trying to feed, and he's chayev for that, because it was achshave. He wanted to get this food into the mouth of the dog. The Ravid has a whole nother pshat in this sugya. He holds that you're chayev on an amud in Rish Sarama only if it has the rochav of dalet al dalet, which is a little bit of a push in the Gemara, but that's the Ravid shita. Now, what about a guma? We're talking about an amud. Amale Abayi l'Rav Yosef guma mai. You have a bit of a ditch in Rishus HaRabim. It's 9 tefachim deep. Would we say that it's exactly parallel in its din and its status to an amud that's 9 tefachim high? And would we say that people going through Rishus HaRabim get benefit from this guma? They have shimush of the guma. They hide certain things there. They put certain things there. Let's say they're, you know, running to here, running to there, so they'll put it down in this guma and then come back and retrieve it. Again, it might not be the most secure place. Now, we already had a sugya back on Davav, in which we distinguish between gova and omek, between that which goes up and that which goes down. You know, we spoke about a charitz, which is, let's say, 10 tefachim with a rochav of 4 tefachim, and it has the status of shesay yachid. But, you know, if you had something like begova, maybe it wouldn't be. Again, you have all sorts of nuances of difference here. So, right now, the Gemara is trying to figure out if the subterranean, the distance below, the guma below, has the same mirror image as the gova above. And indeed, Amalei, Rav Yosef responded to Abai v'chein guma, that the din of guma is identical to the din of an amud, which means that if this guma is 9 tefachim deep, it's part of Rishus HaRabim and it has a function. Now, what happens if it's less than 9 tefachim? Then it's not Rishus HaRabim. And perhaps the reason for that is because a guma, if it's less than 9 tefachim deep, the rabbim would not put their objects there and hide them on a temporary basis. They're already too close to the ground level and the eye can see it. It's got to be a little bit, or significantly below ground level. Now, there's also a shitas hayireim that he calls it Shema Yishavru al Yidei Raglei Ha'odim Vabahemus V'shari Dvorim Ha Nigrorim B'Rishus HaRabim Avolim Amukim Teshetim Amuka Teshet Tfachim Shuvein Chashash Zev HaKelim Menoch V'socho is Nishmarim Heitev. So he says that, you know, it's more dangerous, precarious to put a kli that's that much closer up to the surface because of the Raglei Ha'odim Raglei Behema than putting it deep down on the bottom. I guess people will avoid going there knowing that it's so deep. Rava, however, Omar, beguma lo, that halacha of considering something as Rishus HaRabim, which we apply to the Amud because of Rab Mekatvim, does not apply. It has no mirror, no parallel in the case of a guma, my taima. The reason for that is Tashmish Ayde Chak lo Shmei Tashmish. So the Kitu, the Mekatvim, in the case of an Amud, that's something very natural, very comfortable. But in contrast, If you're talking about a tashmish of a guma, that's called tashmish al yedei dchak. You know, that's not really the comfortable way you would use the rishus harab. That's not how you benefit from rishus harab. The guma is not litzorch rishus harab. You know, an amud you put up for the benefit of the people so that they can be makate. But the guma was not created there. There's no cheshbon that was made litzorch harab. So the din and the status of the guma would be a karbalis. It would not be a rishus harab. And therefore, Rav would say that if you threw something into the guma as opposed to the amud, you would be potter. Now, when we say that the guma has the status of a caramelist, that's only if it has arba al arba. If it doesn't have that shear, then it becomes a mokum ftur, as we mentioned on a few occasions. Esvei Rav Adabar Matona Le Rava. We have a brisa that says, Hoysa kuposo munachas b'sharabim. So he's got this receptacle that is sitting in Rishus HaRabim, and the Braisa says that Gavoa Asora Urechava Arba, if this object is quite massive, it's a kupa that has 10 tefachim in height and 4 tefachim in width. Is ein metaltelin lo mitocha Rishus HaRabim, velo mi Rishus HaRabim lesocha, the kupa is a Rishus HaYochid, because it has both a height of Asar Tfachim and has a Rochav of Arbal Arba, it is Rishus HaYochid. Pachas Mikan, if it's less than 10 Tfachim high or less than 4 Tfachim wide, then Metaltalin, then you're allowed to carry from it into Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. It has the status of Mokum Ptur. And then it says V'chein Beguma. So that's a dangling phrase. We'll have to see what the chain beguma means. But just to get the point here, the main fundamental formulation here of Rav Adabar Matona's halacha is we're talking about a case where a kupa might very well have the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid, and if it does, then that's, I guess you'd say, good news and bad news, right? It's bad news in that you won't be able to carry something from this guma, take it out into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. I mean, the good news might be that if you were to walk within this kupa, okay, the kupa is not that wide, so I don't think you could walk in it. But in any event, we have now the v'chein beguma, and we had one case where you had gova of asura and rochav of arbalar, but then you had the pochus mikan where it was less than 10 tefachim, or alternatively less than 4 tefachim, and then metaltal, and you're allowed to take it out of the kupa and bring it into sarab, or vice versa. So the Gemara asks, what is this v'chein v'guma lav ha-seifa? Shouldn't we assume that it's referring to the sefer, meaning we said in the sefer the pochus mikan metaltalin, meaning if a kupa is less than 10 tefachim in height, then you're allowed to take something from the kupa out into Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, then the same din should apply in a guma. And in a guma, you're going to, the heter here of tiltal is because the guma is considered a rishus harabim. Again, it's got to be a guma that's 9 tefachim, because otherwise there's no shimush rabim. And yet the brisa says v'chein beguma. This is against Rava. Rava considered the guma, as you recall, a tashlei detchak. If it's not part of the rishus harabim, might have the din of a caramel if it's Rochav Dalet. But here it says clearly in this brisa that if it's a guma and it's less than the 10 tefachim high or less than Rochav Arbal Arba, then it has the status of Rishus HaRabim to the extent that we could take from this kupa, which we'll call a guma, because we're saying V'chein Beguma, inter Sarabim or vice versa. That's mutter. And the reason is because the Guma has the status of Rosh Sarabim. So you're taking it from Rosh Sarabim to Rosh Sarabim. That's mutter. Whereas Rav was of the opinion that a Guma is not part of Rosh Sarabim. It's Tashmish Al Yedei Adchak. So the Gemara rejects this Kasha, deflects this Kasha by saying Lo. When it says V'chein B'Guma, it's not going on the Sefer, but rather our Reisha, it's going back on the Reisha. The Reisha was a case of a Kupa, which had the Gova of Asar Tfachim, and it had the Rochav of Arba Tfachim, and it is therefore a Rishus HaYochid. And the Bryce is now adding that the same Halach would apply to a Guma, and if the Guma is 10 Tfachim deep in a Rishus HaRabim, and it's 4 Tfachim wide, then it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. However, if the Rochav of 4 without the Omek of Asara, again, even though it might be 9 Tfachim deep, then its din would not be that of a Kupa, you'd be also the Taltal Tocha, because it would have the status of a Carmelis, and that's exactly what Rava said. But now the Gemara is going to ask a Kash on Rava from Eruvei Tchumin. So let's just give a little bit of an introduction to Eruvei Tchumin. And we're up to the last word on the Amud. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos Chutz L'Tchum, which means beyond 2,000 Amma of a radius around the city. And anything beyond the 2,000 Amma would require an Eruv. So if you want to carry something on Shabbos beyond the 2,000 Amma limit, you'd be required to set up what we call Mazon Shtei Sudos, and that would be organized before Shabbos at the end of the Alpayim Amma. That'll give you another Alpayim Amma, you would Kona Shvis at that point. And all this has to be Shoves on Erev Shabbos. So now it's considered as if he himself was Shoves at that place where he put the Mazon. And even though he goes back to rest on Shabbos to his city, but nevertheless he was already Kona Shvis at that place, because Daito Shel Adam Nesun Al Mokum Shemizono Sham. And now you're allowed to walk for 2,000 amos from the point of the where he left the air of the Mosin Shtei Sudas. That's called Eruvei Tchumen. Now, when a person puts down an Erev Tchumen, he has to have Kavana to be Kona Shvisa. She Tikna Lo Shvisoso is the language. So that Mokum now becomes his Mokum Shvisa. That's where he starts his Shabbos, so to speak. And from that Mokum on, as we said before, he will be able to walk another 2,000 Amos. And there's another dimension that we should mention here, that once he has this kavod of Tikna Lo Chatzero, Kiilu Shavas, as we said, B'mokom sheyuchal lohavi elav esa eruv uli ochlo im yirtza. It's got to be in a way that he can eat the eruv, so that it's tied to olav, as we said. Now, let's say he was mechaving to be shoves in one place, the mozon that he used for tarovas is in a different place, and it would be impossible, based on the halachas of Otzah, to take the mazon from the place that's located and bring it to the place where he was shoves. That's not an Erev at all. The Erev has to be in a place where, if he wants to eat the Erev from his Makom Shvisa, he can do so. Now, the Zman of Kniyas Shvisa is up to but not beyond Bein HaShmoshos of Knisat HaShabbat. Therefore, if the Eruv was alive and well during the Bein HaShmoshos period, he was Kona Shvisa. And even if afterwards it would be lost or eaten, it would be still mut of him to go from there to 2,000 Av, because he was Kona Shvisa B'Knisas HaShabbos. But again, if the Erev would have been eaten before the Bein HaShemashos period ends, somewhere within the Bein HaShemashos period, then it's not an Erev at all. The Erev has to be alive and well at the end of Bein HaShemashos. Eisvei. This is a kasha of Rav Adavar Matona to Rav Hashanina Bebrice. We learned in a Bryce, and here we're going to turn to Daf Chesam in Beis. Niskavin Lishbos Bershus Aravin. V'niach es eruvo bibor, l'mali me'asor tfochim eruvei reva, l'mata me'asor tfochim ein eruvo eruv. So all this has to be analyzed from the perspective of being konesh visa, birshus arabim, because the eruv, as we said before, is only meaningful if he's konesh visa. So Mirtz Hashem will pick up Taf Ches Amid Beis, this Raya of Ravada against Rava from the Mishnah in the Brice of Erev Tachumen and Mirtz Hashem in the next year.